One of the things, the headline is Hawaii tops nation in worrying about COVID-19. It says roughly 80% of Hawaii residents worry about COVID-19 daily, giving the state the number one worry rank in the new nationwide reporting from Safewise. Goes on, Hawaii stood out to us. We thought it was pretty strange that they had one of the lowest case rates of COVID, and yet they had the highest rate of concern. What's wrong with you, Hawaii? Where's your faith? Where is your faith? Jesus rebuked the disciples when a storm was coming up. It looked like they were going to ground on the Sea of Galilee. And he rebuked them. He said, where's your faith? That's what I want to ask. Folks, I hope you here at Calvary Chapel, or you listening to my voice, you have more faith than fear, because fear is going to control your life. And I just get so upset, those that are pushing the fear, and pushing all that stuff. But you see, for us, we've come to a place where salvation, we've talked about the doctrine of salvation in the first 8 chapters of the book of Romans. Then we talked about the doctrine of Israel, past, present, and future in chapter 9 to 11. Now in chapter 12, we deal with the practical working out of our faith. You know, having faith and the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. There's no room for fear to control our lives. And I hope you hear me loud and clear. I understand sometimes we can be fearful, especially if a loved one is in the hospital and they have issues in their life that we're really praying about, and there's a concern. But fear should never control our life. And so we want to look at the practical application of our Christian faith. And what I have here, don't let this kind of turn you off, but 30 attributes of born-again believers from verses 19 to 21. Now, some of these are real quick, but 30 attributes. This is what we're to be. This is what we are, not to do, but to be. Remember when Jesus gave the Beatitudes in Romans, not Romans, but in Matthew 5, when he talks about, blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are, oh, how happy. They're the Beatitudes, not the do attitudes. It's not what we're to do. It's what the Holy Spirit is bringing us to, what we are in Christ. And so we find, let me read it through, and then we'll go through it one by one. It says in verse 9, we're coming into this practical application of our Christian faith. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, preserving in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own vengeance, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. And verse 21, the end, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Lord, that is a tall order, but that's who we are in Christ. We are filled with your Holy Spirit, and we are those that are being conformed into your image. So, Lord, I do pray that you take these 30 attributes, Lord, and you incorporate those in each one of our lives. Lord, some of these we might see ourselves failing in more. Others we might see ourselves succeeding. But, Lord, we are your poema. We are your workmanship created for good works in Christ Jesus. So work that in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, it really tells us these 30 attributes. It tells us what a Spirit-filled believer looks like, what we look like. And one who is walking in obedience to Jesus Christ in their attitude and in their actions. Remember the Beatitudes, that Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus said the Christian is to be, not to do, but how the Holy Spirit works in a person. That's really, you might say, kind of a continuation. It's not a continuation of the Beatitudes, but Paul is telling us, here's what we are to be. And so he says in verse 9, you have three of those attributes. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is speaking through a false face. In other words, don't pretend love, but practice love. Think of others and not just yourself, not just myself, but I'm thinking of others. And don't be two-faced. That would be hypocritical. Oh, you're sweet to the face of a person, but then you talk behind their back. No, that's failing in that. The Bible says in Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or empty pride, but in humility consider others more important than yourself. So that first attribute, let love be without hypocrisy. The second is abhor what is evil. Now, that word abhor, it's to shudder with horror. Shudder with horror, that's a pretty dramatic term. The Bible says the fear of God is to hate evil. So the more we have the reverence, the fear, the sense of God's presence, the more that we hate evil. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:13, but Psalm 26:5 says, I hate the assembly of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. Sometimes you think we're not supposed to hate things. Oh, we are. We're to hate evil. You see, that's the second attribute, abhor what is evil. Notice the third attribute, cling to what is good. And that word cling is to glued to. Have you ever glued something and you can't get it apart? That's what we're to be, glued to what is good. Philippians 4:8-9 says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul is saying, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. So he's saying, cling to what is good, all of us. Notice verse 10 tells us, and these are the next two attributes. It says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. So the fourth attribute, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. The idea is kindly affection in the Greek, or deep tenderness, abiding commitment with one another. That's what he's saying. You see, this way the world is going to know that we're Christians when we have that brotherly love, that our love is warm and sincere. You see, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. The fifth attribute is give preference to one another in honor. In other, he's saying, put others first. That's hard to do, but it only comes by the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus did. He put others first, so are we. It's to esteem others higher than ourselves. When you think of that preference, you know, I used to when the kids, you know, maybe we had two slices of pie left over. We're going to give them to the kids, but they weren't actually cut in even pieces. What do? For the two kids. Okay, one of you cut, the other chews. So you're going to be sure that that first kid that cuts, he's going to cut right down the middle, but the other one gets to choose. You see, we always want to choose the bigger piece of the pie, don't we? That's the idea here, but it says give preference to one another in love. The sixth attribute, 7th and 8th, are in verse 11, And it says, not lagging behind and diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So here, the sixth attribute, not lagging behind in diligence. In other words, don't be slothful in your Christian life. Don't be slothful. Just watch others get involved. I mean, you're a watcher. You watch others get involved, but you're not involved. Don't be like that. Be an example of doing and not slacking in your enthusiasm, not lagging behind in diligence. Now, the seventh attribute, fervent in spirit. And the word fervency is to bring to a boil. At what point has your Christian faith been brought to a boil? Is it boiling right now? Fervent in your Christian faith. You see, Jesus said, I'd rather have you hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, you're right in the middle, I'll spew you out of my mouth. It's pretty hard to get a person that's lukewarm on fire because they're kind of fading toward being cold. Because they're lukewarm, they think, oh, well, I'm pretty warm. I'm pretty hot. I'm not maybe as hot as you are, but I'm pretty hot, you know. But you're lukewarm. Jesus said he'll spew you out of his mouth. You see, if someone is cold, God can make them hot. He can bring them around to himself. And so fervent in spirit. The eighth attribute is serving the Lord. Looking for opportunities. There's so many opportunities around the fellowship, you know, to serve the Lord or to serve one another in a lot of different areas. I even mentioned it this morning in the announcements. We saw it. So you look for opportunities. Now, even when people don't respond to you, you're not getting the pat on the back. But you see, if that's what you're expecting, you're not serving the Lord, you're serving yourself. You're serving for the glory of yourself, not the glory of God. We don't need pats on the back. I like to do things in stealth where people not seeing me. I like to do that. I like to do it as a loner. But there are times when the people come together and we do stuff. And I love to do that as well. But I don't want to be out there and people go, oh, Bill, you shouldn't be doing that. Here, let me do it. No, no, don't take away my blessing. No, I want to do that. You see, not slacking and serving the Lord. You see, the reward is from heaven. The Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall receive your reward. Be faithful in the small things, and God will give you. He'll deliver over the bigger things. So serving the Lord. Here in verse 12, we see the ninth, 10th, and the 11th attribute. Verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. So rejoicing in hope. Christians, if Hawaii is the top dog in fear, let me say this. This applies. I would say focus on the promises, not on the problems. That's the problem with Hawaii. They're focusing on fear. They're focusing on the problems. But you as Christians, we as Christians focus on the promises, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the hope that we have. He's the hope in his coming, but he's the hope that we have right now. So rejoice in hope. That's the ninth attribute. The tenth attribute is persevering in tribulation. So we need to be an example to this fear-mongering state. We need to be an example of not giving up, of not fearing under pressure. We're people of faith. We're people rejoicing. That rally really lifted people's spirits. You saw why. Why is Hawaii so fear-mongering? Doesn't make sense when we have one of the lowest cases of COVID and everyone that gets it, just about 99.98% get over it. It's like a bad flu. But don't fear. You see, rejoice in hope. And also, persevering in tribulation, as I mentioned, being an example. You see, sometimes you have to be an example, not giving up under pressure, with difficult people. You deal with difficult people, especially at this time. People, they're, you know, they've had it. You know, they have a short fuse, and it might go off on you. But build bridges, don't burn them. Persevering in tribulation. That's the 10th attribute. The 11th attribute, devoted to prayer. Let prayer be first resort, not last resort. For a lot of people, they'll say, well, I've tried everything else, so maybe I'll pray. No, pray first. Let it be your first resort. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That means you're just in the attitude of prayer constantly. I am in the attitude of prayer constantly. They may not be long prayers, but they're shot up to God. It only takes a few seconds to shoot them up to God. The Bible tells us in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So 11th attribute, devoted to prayer. But now in verse 13, you have the 12th and the 13th attribute. It says, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. So number 12 attribute is contributing to the needs of the saints. And the idea there is commonality, partnership, or the Greek term there is fellowship. And so the needs of the saints, and we've mentioned needs this morning, and we will always mention needs of the saints, and maybe you know needs of the saints. Well, that's the idea. It's commonality, it's partnership, it's fellowship. 1 John 3:17 says, but whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Now, notice it's a need of a brother or sister. It's not saying that we're to support a welfare system for those that don't know the Lord. That's not what he's saying. I think sometimes, especially back down in Honolulu, you know, the homeless people would come and we'd help them out. But what I found that sometimes they just didn't want to work, or they didn't want to earn their own way. They wanted the handout, so they kept coming back. And I realized that we're supporting them in their sin. Because the Bible says, if a person doesn't work, neither let him eat. The Bible says a hunger of a person urges them on to make their own way. And the Bible says the one that doesn't provide for his own needs, those of his own household, is worse than an unbeliever. I don't know how you can be worse than an unbeliever who doesn't know the Lord, but you see, one who is just slacking off in that. So it's really the needs, when you see that need of the brothers and sisters. And that 13th attribute, practicing hospitality. Now, you're pursuing that. You're practicing that. You know, when we have our conference in about 3 months, there may be those who would want to stay with homestay with one of the families. And so you might be one that wants to open your home to a pastor or a leader that is coming over, and maybe the hotels are a little bit expensive for them, and they're on a tight budget, and they're coming over. So that's a blessing, and that's what he's talking about here. It's you're pursuing the love of strangers. That's what hospitality means, the love of strangers. And realize this, back at that time, there would be traveling evangelists, traveling teachers, traveling apostles. And they really would only have the choice, if the Christians didn't open their home, of staying in the inns that were in that area. You know, we would call them hotels, but they weren't hotels back then. They were just inns. And usually these inns would be dirty. They would be expensive. They would be immoral. Prostitution there. And so that's why the practicing hospitality, so important back then, but that's one of the attributes here of a believer, 13, to practice hospitality. Now, verse 14, we also see two other attributes in verse 14. It says, bless those who persecute you, bless and curse not. So this 14th attribute is bless those who persecute you. In other words, treat your enemies with respect. Treat them as a friend. That's totally opposite of our old nature, isn't it? We don't want to do that. But the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. So that 14th attribute, bless those who persecute you. And the 15th attribute here in verse 14 is bless and curse not. And that's a habit of mind. That's the tense. It's a habit of mind. This is who you are and what you do as a believer. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Do you like to just curse people? Is that the fruit that you live on? Or do you like to bless people? Is that the fruit you live on? What do you love, to curse or to bless? Well, you see, the 16th attribute is bless and curse not. And then in verse 15, we have two more attributes, the 16th and 17th attribute. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So 16, that 16th attribute, rejoice with those who rejoice. In other words, be glad for others, no matter what circumstance or situation you're in. You want to bemoan the good things that have come to that person because you're kind of under pressure or under the gun. But no, it says rejoice with their good fortune. It's always interesting. I don't watch this anymore, but in the past, you know, sometimes you can see this in the Academy Awards. When they're doing the best actor, best actress, the best, you know, best this or that, they usually will have the screen with maybe the five different people that are up for that award. You know, and as they read, and the winner is, and they're all just there with big smiles, and then all of a sudden the winner, and that person a little surprised, and they get up, and the other people are just with a happy face clapping. And you know inside they're going, I should have got it. Why did they get it? You know, but that's just our nature. Our nature, when that other person gets that promotion or that position that you thought you should get, you have an attitude of almost begrudging them for doing that. Why didn't I get that? Well, the Bible's saying rejoice with those that rejoice. And then notice 17, that attribute, weep with those who weep. You see, have empathy or have a feeling of how they're feeling. That's the idea of empathy, what they're feeling. Empathy with those that are hurting. Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of man can endure his sickness, but a broken spirit who can bear? So you weep with those who weep. You bear with them and help them. Now, verse 16, this has four of the attributes. And it says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. So here, verse 16, that 18th attribute is be of the same mind toward one another. He's telling us as a church to have the spirit of unity, to have the spirit of oneness. So many churches can be divided over the smallest things, the color of the carpet. Well, I voted for this color, and you chose the other color, we're leaving. You know, it's just amazing. The trivial things that people can divide over. But the Bible tells us in Romans 13:14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. That's put on his mind of unity, of harmony, of oneness. So be of the same mind toward one another. That 19th attribute is do not be haughty in mind. Do not be thinking in mind, comparing yourself to others and saying, well, I'm better than them. Don't be a know-it-all and think that you are somebody comparing yourself. The Bible says you do err when you compare yourself with others. The Bible says in Philippians 2:5 about Jesus, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself and taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. If God the Creator could humble himself, can't we? Can't we? Do not be of a haughty mind. That's number 19. And 20, the 20th attribute is associate with the lowly. Associate with the lowly. Be there for the least and the last. The introvert, the timid, the shy, the one who is alone, don't ignore them, but connect with them. That's what he's saying a Christian will do. That's what Christ did. And he got in trouble for doing that. Associated with the tax gatherers and the harlots, those least, associate with the lowly. And then the 21st attribute is do not be wise in your own estimation. There's no superiority trips, you know, feelings about you above others, smarter than the rest of those in the room. Some people have that kind of attitude. The Bible tells us, it's interesting, it almost seems like we need to degrade ourselves, but it's talking about being wise in this world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, do not deceive yourselves. If anyone thinks that they are wise in this age, let them become foolish, that they may become wise. Foolish in this age, because this age just promotes junk. You can be wise in the Scriptures, wise in the Lord, and He gives you His wisdom. He gives you what you need to be in this world. So if you're worldly wise, you err. So do not be wise in your own estimation. Then in verse 17, we have two more of these attributes. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. So the 22nd attribute is never pay back evil for evil to anyone. We're told never to think, I'm going to get even with that person. Don't retaliate is what the Bible is telling us. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, see that no one repays anyone with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men. So contrary to our sin nature. But he's saying that we are to never pay back evil for evil to anyone. The 23rd attribute would be respect what is right in the sight of all men. Again, that's verse 17. That second part. In other words, do nothing to hurt the cause of Christ. Notice that? Respect what is right in the sight of all men, Christians and non-Christians, so that you don't hurt the cause of Christ, that Christ and Christianity not be spoken evil of because of your dishonesty, because of your deceitfulness, because of your lying, because of your untrustworthiness. Don't let that happen. Oh, we know that's in the world, all that's in the world, and that's what we deal with, but don't let it be said on your behalf. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:6, no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother. So respect what is right in the sight of all men. Then in verse 18, you have one here, attribute. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. I always love that saying, to dwell above with saints I love, that will be glory. To dwell below with saints I know, well, that's a different story. You know, sometimes there are people that are hard to get along with, but we need to. We need to. And this is why I think Paul says, if possible. If possible. Some people are just incorrigible, but if possible. You see, if friction and division comes up, don't let it be on your part. Don't let it be on your part. Let it be on the other person's part. And if possible, as far as lies within you, be at peace with them. The Bible tells us in Psalm 133, 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. The Lord commands a blessing upon them to dwell in unity." So, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. And then in verse 19, we have two more attributes, 25 and 26 attribute. Verse 19 says, "Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.'" So the 25th attribute, never take your own vengeance. Beloved, notice a tender term, because we're so prone to retaliate. But you see, retaliating in anger is never acceptable, is what the Bible is telling us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30 says, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.'" That's God who's saying that. "And again, the Lord will judge his people." Jesus, when all that that came upon Jesus, all this ridicule and this persecution and everything, and ultimately and finally his crucifixion, Jesus being reviled did not revile in return, but kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. So if Jesus didn't take revenge, then we shouldn't. So that 25th attribute, never take your own revenge, beloved. But notice verse, or the 26th attribute, still verse 19, "But leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.'" Now you do have psalms, and this is one that's called an imprecatory psalm, or a psalm of vengeance. As David said, "Lord, break their teeth in their mouth. Lord, they're coming after me, you go after them." Imprecatory prayers or psalms. It's basically, you're just saying, "Lord, you see their evil. You see what they're doing in my life or upon the church or in this nation. So, Lord, you deal with them as you see fit." You can find it, that psalm of vengeance, in Psalm 109. You can see it in Psalm 144. There are others. "But leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.'" And then verse 20, you have two more attributes. It says, "But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals upon his head." So that 27th attribute is, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. You see, an enemy becomes a friend, or at least he's not against you. He's not your foe any longer when you do that. Remember in 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha, the prophet, the king of Syria was battling the king of Israel, and every time the king of Syria would make a plot and a plan and be in a certain place, the king of Israel would know it. And so finally, the king of Syria said, "Now, who is the double agent in my kingdom here who's telling the king of Israel where we're going to be?" And one of them said, "It's not us at all. It's Elisha, the prophet. He tells the king of Israel what you do in your bedroom, king." So the king says, "Go get him." So they send troops to get Elisha. And so they come to Dothan. That's where he's staying. And here these troops are surrounding the city. And Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, goes out and he sees all the Syrian army out there. He comes back in and he says, "Elisha, they're here. They're going to come and take us." And Elisha says, "Oh, Lord, open his eyes, For those who are with us are greater than those who are with them. And as Gehazi goes out and he looks around, he sees the angels of the Lord, fiery chariots. And all of a sudden, the Assyrians are blinded. And they come to Elisha, and Elisha says, oh, no, you're in the wrong place. Let me take you to where you want to go. So he leads these blind soldiers right into the camp of Israel, the king of Israel. And then he opens their eyes, and they see that they're surrounded by the ranks of Israel. And the king of Israel says, shall we kill them? And Elisha says, why would you kill? It's like you brought them, they were prisoners by the sword or by the spear. Why would you kill them? No, go feed them. So they give a feast for these soldiers. They go back. They tell, you know, their captain, they tell their leader. And the Bible says the land was at peace at that point on. It's really an interesting story, a great illustration for us that if your enemy is hungry, feed him. But then the 28th attribute, if he is thirsty, give him drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals upon his head. Now, a couple things here. Egyptian custom was to show public contrition or repentance carrying a pan of hot burning coals on your head. Obviously, it would be wrapped in a towel and that kind of thing. But the coals would speak of a person's hot shame, burning guilt. And therefore, when you help an enemy out, it has the effect of putting them to shame for their ill will toward you. So that's the idea here. It's not a hindrance, it's a help. Another idea here in Israel, when you'd be in your home, the only thing that would heat the home is your coals in your hearth there. But if the coals went out, it gets very cold in Israel at night or early in the morning. And if it went out, you and your family would be very cold. So if you went to your neighbor, maybe he wasn't your friend, maybe you're at odds, but that neighbor gave hot coals to you to go reheat your hearth, to warm your house. It's like heaping hot coals on the head and being a benevolence to them. And so you're really making friends out of an enemy, or you're helping them out, and it turns their attitude toward you, not to ill will, but goodwill. And that's what he's saying here. So, if he's thirsty, give him drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals upon his head. In verse 21, come to an end, you find the last two attributes. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, the 29th attribute of one who is born again, walking in the Spirit, having God work through their life, conforming them into the image of Jesus Christ, is you do not be overcome by evil. Now, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, we find in verse 14, it says, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. Have you ever known that as being true? Somebody's life? It's like they sleep and they think about the evil that they're going to do the next day or the evil they did that night. That's a horrible thing. And don't be overcome by evil. Don't you be that way. If that enters your mind, like the old life or that kind of thing, and you begin to start thinking about that, start reciting scriptures. Say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. Maybe say, my Father who is in heaven. You know, it just interact with the Lord. You see, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts or ruins good morals or good character. So do not be overcome by evil. And the 30th attribute, but overcome evil with good. You counter that, overcoming evil with good. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 says, "You have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So overcome evil with good." 30 character traits of believers walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. These are so contrary to our human nature and what maybe we would want to do, or we, you know, the old sinful nature wants to do. But we have to realize we can't fight fire with fire in a world system ruled by the god of this world, Satan, who seeks to draw us into a flesh fight, a flesh fight. He wants to get us to hate. He wants to get us to revenge. He wants to get us to name call. He wants us to get into carnal methods to fight spiritual battles. And that will only frustrate. It'll only keep us defeated. It'll keep us distracted from the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus Christ, who wants to seek and save those who are lost. And we are his instruments to do that work of an evangelist, fulfill our ministry, and see souls being saved. So these are not do attributes, but they're be attributes, just as it's the Beatitudes, not the do attitudes. What we are to be as a born-again believer, filled with the Holy Spirit, being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. It's a tall order, Lord, but by your Holy Spirit, Lord, I know that you can do that in us and through us. Lord, that we might really be those that are fit workers for the kingdom of God. And Lord, I know that we're going to face challenges today, tomorrow, throughout the week. Lord, that is going to put us to the test to be what you have made us to be. Let us depend upon your Holy Spirit and the transformation that we have into the image of Jesus Christ. Do that work. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.